Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C.O.G., whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
We lift up our voice and appreciate God tonight. Just bless the name of the Lord. Give Him praise. Give Him thanks. Exalt Him tonight. Just go ahead and bless the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we honor you. Thank you, faithful Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now listen. We're just going to pray a little bit. It's the end of the month, and we usually will pray 4 days towards the end of the month. One of the prayers that I desire that you pray tonight is the prayer that has to do with meeting God's needs. God has needs. I want to talk to us in that direction. I want you to pray and say, God, if you have a need, I am available. God has needs. God has needs. I'm going to share a little bit of that with us today. But I want you to just pray in 2-3 minutes from your heart and say, Lord, I am available. I don't know what the need is, but I am available. If you can use anything, if you can use anyone, Lord, use me. I want you to just pray that prayer. It's our week of spiritual renewal. And we're renewing ourselves, renewing our altar, renewing our hearts and our mind towards God. And saying, God, I am available. Lord, just use me. Use me again, Lord God Almighty. Can you just pray and say, Lord, use me, I am available. I make myself available. I make myself available to you, Jesus. I make myself available to you, Jesus. I know that there is a need that you created me for. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has already foreordained that we should work in them. So they are good works that God created you for. You are not just a non-entity. You are not useless in the scheme of things. You are important in the scheme of things. You are useful. Sometimes the devil makes you feel like you are not. Can you pray and say, God, use me, Jesus.
Use me for your glory.
Use me, Jesus.
Lord, I
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please sit up in heavenly places. Ezekiel chapter 22. There are times, you know, during the course of the year where we have outlined teaching series and topics that I have premeditated over and assigned for that season. But there are also times in the year where I, apart from waiting on God long and get some of the things we'll share throughout the year, there are times where I just sit and I'm saying, God, what am I going to share today? And today happens to be one of those days, just sitting down and pondering and saying, God, there's so many things. Today and Sunday, the things I'll be sharing today and on Sunday, they are very unusual because I'm starting a new series in October and I planned that out already. But for the month of September, today and on Sunday coming, those days where I just sit down and I'm saying, God, what would you have me share with your people? Put a word in my heart, put a word in my mouth, so that I can bring your word to your people. And it happens that this is what God has directed my heart to today. I really would encourage that we admin, if we can get through across all our pages and remind people of service so that those who are not online will really come online. You know, there are times where you just wish the whole church is a Sunday sermon, but I got it on a Tuesday, so I have to preach it. There are times where you wish that, oh, this should have been something everybody should hear on Sunday. But you see, when God gives it to you, the moment He has given it, it might be one person. It might be one person. I want to encourage everyone not to be distracted today. Let's just focus. Give your best attention to today's meeting. For some people, today will be the defining moment of their life. I preach messages like that, and I know, and I've heard people come again and say, Pastor, this particular message was the turning point for my own life. I discovered my purpose that day. I just knew that this exactly is what God will have me do. Are we getting what I'm saying? Yes. So you just come to that point, to that place where you realize that I hope I'm not wasting. I hope I'm not just living my own life. I hope I'm not just concerned about myself and the things that I will get from God. We live in a generation where people are concerned just about the things they will get from God. And I'm sure that God, of course, God is aware that these people, they are just here for what they will get. Many people in many churches all over the world. In fact, some churches were built and established just to meet the needs of people alone. And the need that they want a miracle, or they want a healing. These are things that God will do for us freely. These are things that sometimes we have not prayed about, and people will testify of what God has done for them. But some people just have everything they want to do in their lives circled around, God, meet my needs. And sometimes God is saying, I also have needs. God has needs. God has needs. I want to remind somebody in church today that God has needs. So many for myself. Even though I am God, I cannot do everything myself. I'll show you that. One of the amazing things I have discovered about God in my years of serving Him as a Christian and reading the Bible is that despite the greatness of God and some of His amazing attributes, He still needs men. The Bible shows us that God is omnipotent, meaning that God is all powerful. And this all powerful God will still need a man. Many of the times when He has to do things within this territory called earth, God is omniscient or omniscience, yet He needs men who know one thing or the other and can help Him dispense knowledge. God will not come to the face of the planet earth here and dispense knowledge to men. He needs men. So the Bible says He led captivity captive, and when He went to heaven, He gave gifts to men. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. He gave gifts. He can teach the whole world if He wants to. God would have decided to be teaching all of us in our dreams. We'll just wake up and say, today I took class on honor. God taught me honor in my dream. He would have done all that. But despite the fact that He's all-knowing and omnipotent, all-powerful, He still will pick men so that men will help Him in communicating His truth all around the world. It is also amazing to know that God is omnipresent, but yet He needs men to be present in different parts of the world to do certain things for Him. There are people that God sent around today. In fact, He can be everywhere at the same time, but He still sends angels. So are there not angels sent forth as ministering spirits to minister for the heads of salvation? So today, as I'm speaking right now, there are many people that God will send into people's lives that will be a blessing to them, turn their life around, change their story. Yet, God is omnipresent. He can be present everywhere to do those things, but yet He needs men. So the topic of my message today is the Lord needs somebody. God needs somebody. There are so many things he can do, but he needs men. The Bible says God has created the heavens for himself and the earth he has made for the sons of men. And because he has created the earth for the sons of men, there is the law of territories that will not allow God step into the face of planet earth to just do things anyhow. He would have to go through a man. He would have to look for somebody to do it, because in this territory, it is man's territory. The heavens are God's territory. The earth belongs to man. So there are many things God wants to do here on the face of planet earth. Despite the fact that he created man, he also made the law and established the law of territories that I will not come here to do certain things except I get a man. It shows you how important men are in the scheme of things. Many times men say, God can do anything, does not need any man. God needs men. That's a wrong theology. That's a wrong theology. God always will need men. In fact, if there are no men available to do certain things, the purposes of God can be frustrated in a particular territory as a result of lack of available men. A family can remain and die in abject poverty if the man that God wants to raise in that family refuses to raise his head. A whole community can die if God looks for a man and cannot find one man. And can I tell you the truth? There are times where God looked for men and he by himself said, I looked and I could not find one. My prayer for us today is that we will not be among those that God needs for a particular thing and we are not found worthy to do it. That God will count you worthy to do the things that he needs you for. That you will not be too busy for the agenda of God. That you will not be too carried away pursuing your own personal ambition, that the vision and the purposes of God will be frustrated. That amen sounds like you don't understand what I'm talking about. God needs men. Our God is so humble, he acknowledges himself. Not do your own things. I always tell us sometimes, once in a while, I said, it is over 20-something years now, from 2003 till today, I have never had to go to anybody, beg my life for anything. No, I've never even worked for anybody from 2003 till date. And I've found a way around my life. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here today? Am I making sense here? That's a challenge for somebody who's been too relaxed. That's a challenge for somebody who is thinking that something will fall on your laps. Nothing. God works miracles, but miracles can only be sustained by principles too. Even if I pray now, and of course I pray God gives you a job, if you don't know how to manage and sustain, just slip off. God gives you somebody to give you money to start a business. If you don't know how to manage, just sleep. All the money will go. And my communicator was none to uphold. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation to me, and my fury, it upheld me. Can you see that? I looked, there was no man to help. I looked, there was nobody. Nobody capable to carry on the assignment. Look at your neighbor, say, God needs you. Tell the person, God needs you. Now you just imagine maybe Bill Gates or Dangote, or maybe the president, just your phone rings and it is a president. Hello? You're shocked. Who's that? And introduce himself. And he says, in case you are doubting, I don't mind a video call. You most likely want to kneel down in your room. Even if it's not your culture, you will develop the culture. So when you say, now our culture, you would kneel. Something will just tell you, you are still standing, you don't have sense. If you get calls, chances are that if care is not taken, your phone might even fall off your hand. Now, he now tells you, you see, there's a project I want to carry on in Nigeria. I will need you to please go to 20 major bus stops in Nigeria and just put a stop sign at a particular location. We're doing a project and we don't want people to cross a particular place. You probably would have seen some things happening around. And you say, I saw something happening. Say, yes, I just called and I want you to do that for me. I will pay you. He has not paid. If you have an uncle, you go and call your uncle. Anywhere the money is, you do what? You look for it. I will pay you is what you heard. You didn't even hear the time. You are not even sure that the video call itself is the right person, but you already, you know how front stars do. Did I tell you the story of I and my friend, where they promised us something was coming, and he gave everything, and before we knew it, he was plumbing materials they gave him in a park. He said, he's coming from the airport. God, they said, I will be on the road waiting for you. Maybe he gave the guy the money. The guy gave him the thing. He said, goodbye, goodbye. He drove away and remembered that, ah, the mat. Waiting to me like this. Then we opened it, plumbing materials. Plumbing materials that were what? Maybe not less than, maybe just 1,005. Different things. All these joints and sockets and everything. And he had given the last dollar he borrowed from his mother. He was begging me, even begged me to give my car. That we should use my car to go and meet the man. He's a very important person. Now, I'm just trying to let you know how people can go the extra mile for somebody they respect and honor when the person has a need. And now it is the monarch of the universe that has a need. The creator of heaven and earth, the one that created you and has sustained you and you are alive now. Because you will never be alive. You see, life and death is in the hands of God. He can control anything. Different theologians teach some very funny things, but I can tell you the truth from scriptures with proofs that life and death. He said, tonight your life will be taken from you. And that was it. It's in the hand of God. Now, this monarch of the universe has needs. And he has shown us, and we have seen examples. And some of us have even accepted him as Lord and Savior. And we know his needs, but yet we're not meeting the needs. Many people are not willing to meet God's needs. Many people are just about their own personal selfish gain. Many people are just about their own life. God, just do this for me. This is what I want. That is what I want. That, just me. And God is saying, how about me? I have a plan and a purpose for humanity. I have a plan and a purpose to rescue men from destruction. I have needs. I have needs. Is anybody here with me today? God has needs. And the number one need, I'm going to share with you 8 needs of God. There might be more, but I'll just share about 8 areas that I feel that God has needs and anybody can make themselves available. God has needs. I sought for a man, I found none. I looked everywhere. He said, me, I wonder. God said, I wonder. You know when God is wondering? When the Bible says God wonder, like, Kai, does it mean that there's nobody here? Are you kidding me? Like God is gisting with the angel, like, Kai, Michael, what's happening? I said, God, I'm embarrassed. I'm surprised myself. I can't find one person. Why? And these guys are always calling on my name every day, shouting, God, do it, God, do it, God. I can't find anybody. Their mouth is always quick to mention my name, but their heart is far away from me. I can't find anybody. Number one need that God has and is looking for men to need, God needs somebody to stand the gap between himself and humanity. And that's Ezekiel chapter 22 where we just read now. Instead of watching men encounter God's wrath, God is looking for men who will stand as intercessor, pray and say, God, help us. He said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, he said, then I will hear from heaven and I will do what? I will heal their land. God is looking for men and women who will stand as intercessors. Stand the gap and pray for mercy over a particular territory. Pray that people will not perish and die just like that. God is looking for men and women that will carry on that responsibility. How many of us know the story of Jonah in the Bible? God sends Jonah to Nineveh. Why? Because God saw that the people of Nineveh, they had done great wrath and he didn't want to just destroy them. How many of us are aware that it is not the will of God that any should perish? Hope you know that part of God, that God doesn't want anybody to perish. So he said, Jonah, you will go to Nineveh. But because Jonah already saw the people in Nineveh as terrible people, in fact, he wanted them to die. If they would die, let them die in their sin. They are too bad, so dirty, so useless. Why would God think of saving them? In fact, I've been telling them, I've been preaching there already, self. I've been telling them that all of you will perish. You will perish. Now, God now says that I heard your message of telling them to perish, but I don't want them to perish. Go now and change your message and tell them God is looking for you people and he doesn't want you to perish. Jonah said, never. How will I preach that? I've told them that they are wicked people, they are bad, they must die. They must die, no matter what they do. And Jonah took on his journey to Tarshish. And God said, what's wrong with you? Is it your salvation? I'm the one. I just need you to go and talk. Can you see God needs men? I need you to go and talk. So God looked everywhere, no other person, just Jonah. And Jonah was running, he was running after Jonah. If he found somebody else, he would have left Jonah and gone to somewhere else. But there was nobody. Nobody to do the work. Everybody was so busy. Many of them busy pursuing other things. Many of them were still going to the temple and worshiping, but they were not ready to do that assignment. And Jonah that was available and ready to be used, he had a mindset that would not allow him make himself available for God to use him. Could it be that some of us have strange mindsets that will not allow God to use us? You have very funny mindsets. Some people, the mindset is, I'm too young. Very useless mindset. That's a useless mindset. You read the Bible, a king at age 7. God is looking for intercessors everywhere. A good intercessor can help avert the anger and the wrath of God over a territory. The Bible says God was on his way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He did not discuss with Abraham. In fact, I have looked everywhere and I didn't see any man. Even Lot himself was not serious again. So let's leave this guy. Wipe them off! And while Abraham was just standing outside his house that day, these men were passing. And Abraham said, please stop. Where are you going to? Where are you going to? And the men came and he honored them. And if Abraham was not available to be used by God for that intercession, sir, Sodom and Gomorrah will be wiped off, Lot and all his family wiped off. God needs men. He still works with men. God's method is not always a very polished and well-organized strategy. Men are God's method. Write it down. Men are God's method. God is always looking for men. God is always looking for men. God, if you need somebody, I'm available. Do you know many of us, some of us here, we're supposed to be intercessors. God just needs 30 minutes of your time for life. You struggle to give him 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And many things in your family will never wipe out until you pray that 30 minutes. He needs intercessors. You need to have a discussion with God and know what he wants from you. Because you are complaining about the same very thing you were created to correct. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Is anybody getting what I'm sharing with you here today? So because Abraham went into the room and after he treated those guys well, they leaked the secret to him. I said, what? But God, you didn't tell me. Said, in fact, God started discussing. He said, how will I hide this thing from Abraham? Well, you were hiding it before. You were going. If not that Abraham had spiritual sensitivity, may you be sensitive enough to know what God is doing. May you be sensitive enough to know the next move of God in your family, in your career, in your business. That things will not take you all of a sudden by surprise. In the name of Jesus. Abraham said, come in. Please, let me just take care of this guy. He told his wife, they organized everything. And Abraham went in. After they told Abraham, guess what Abraham did? He left them and entered the room. And said, God, you didn't discuss this thing with me. I'm here. And Abraham started interceding. And said, God, if you find 100 people, and God said, I will not destroy. He said, how about if there are 50, God? Let's have a bargain if there are 30. How about if I can get 10 people? And God said, I will not destroy. He said, okay. And he left. Do you know that when God got to Sodom and Gomorrah, he couldn't find 10? So he just picked the few. And he said, I like the way Abraham bargained with God. He said, will you destroy the righteous with the unrighteous? He said, you are a just God. I know you. In other words, to say, I know you have been looking for somebody. Thank God I made myself available. Thank God I decided to engage in this discussion and interaction with God now. If not, my brother would have been wiped out. And they will tell, the family will tell him that you took your brother from all the guardians to use him for ritual. Look at how rich you are. useless Abraham, man. That's a very wicked man. They would have thought, guy, they wouldn't consider all the good he had done for Lot. Everybody would just conclude that that is how Abraham became rich. He used Lot. But Abraham interceded. He stood the gap and he started praying, and he eventually got that deal with God. And God said, let's go and check. And when they went there, the men of Sodom and Gomorrah were coming. They wanted to have sex with fellow men. And God said, what is this? That is what I'm talking about. Look at them. Look at them. The people who are coming to save, look at. The people who are looking for 10 amongst, look at. Are you sure that's not what happens when God comes to our space and says, look at the people who want to help, look at them. Look at the people who want to change their lives. They are still the ones struggling with drugs. They are still the ones struggling with all manner of rubbish. Look at them. How do we start now? But mercy will locate people here. May the mercy of God locate families here. I didn't hear you say loud amen. Can you give me 10 minutes a day? 20 minutes? Some people 1 hour a week to pray just for souls. Souls are dying every day. Christians don't pray for souls. Many believers don't. The last time, if you ask them, when was the last time you prayed and interceded for souls? And God is saying, I need people that will stand the gap for souls. I need intercession on a consistent basis. This world would have been destroyed if not for certain men. The number of people praying for souls compared to the number of people who are in church, if you check, sometimes it's just a very minute percentage of people who are interested. Many of the others are interested about their own things. They are born again, no? They are saved, but they are not willing that all will be saved. You talk about souls, they are not interested in that. Why will I be praying for other souls? Have I finished praying for myself? That's what they're thinking. God is saying, you are saved already. It's an assignment. It is part of the package, an assignment for your life. You are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That God has ordained that you walk in them. And from the foundation of the world, God has already ordained. Part of the assignment and the calling of a believer is intercession. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? Oh God, help us. That they will come to repentance, Jesus. That they will not perish. But rather, we pass in front of the brothels. We pass in front of where those guys and girls are. And say, look at them again. Useless people. FYI, they wait for now. Is that the heart of intercession? You see how many... You know why people, Christians, don't bring people to church? They have condemned all their neighbors that they are waiting for hell. You are the only righteous person. Congratulations. All the neighbors say, no, she's just coming from club on Friday. How will I bring her to church? I was like, how? I don't even feel like, I don't know how to even say it, but who should hear it? You're coming for a program in church, you're looking for a fellow Christian brother or sister as your number one priority to invite. Whereas there's an unbeliever there that you're supposed to be interceding for and praying for and saying, God, this person has to be saved. But you abandon that one. Your mind is just on the fellow Christians. Because the fellow Christian will not persecute you, they will not criticize you. They will just come and sing and rejoice with you in service. But how about the person whose soul needs to be saved? How about the God who leaves the 99 and goes after one? Should that character not be part of our own character as believers? Is anybody getting what I'm sharing here at all today? Intercessors. God is looking for intercessors. In every generation, whenever God wants to do something very significant, big and outstanding, he will always need intercessors. Always. Always. 1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1. Look at what the Bible says there. 1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4. Let's look at these things together tonight. I believe that God will steer the heart of somebody up and there will be fresh zeal and passion for you to pursue the things and the needs of God in the name of Jesus. He said, therefore, I exhort you, first of all, that supplication, prayers, and intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men. This is the first assignment of believers. Lord, let your will be done on the face of planet Earth. That men will come to the knowledge of Jesus. That souls will be saved. That they will be established, that they will be rooted, that will be grounded. They will come to know you personally. That is your first prayer point. But many times when we wake up in the morning, our first prayer point is, God, I want this, I want that. Favor. This one, that one, and God is saying, these things you are praying for, they are all other things that will be added. Why not just do the real important things? And we have a massive number of people who are only interested about their personal needs. If God looks at the heart, if God just open and see. And most of the times, our prayer platforms these days are designed just to meet needs. Nothing has to do with intercession. And we have led the whole generation to just pursue things. When God says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Look at what it says. It says, who desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of what? The truth. The next verse, now we're going to verse 4. Are we done with all the reading? 1, 2, 3, 4. I finished reading already. Wow. That's serious. Are we here together? Sometimes you feel like, how does my prayer really count? Look at all the people in the world. Look at the so-so bishop. Look at so-so evangelist. Look at the people that are praying. Does my own prayer really count? That was what exactly happened when they brought 5 loaves and 2 fishes. One of the disciples of Jesus Christ said, "What is this among so many? What is this among so many?" And Jesus said, "What? Did you call it small? Watch and see the miracle. What is this among so many? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What is this?" That was what the disciples said. He said, "What is this among so many? What is my own 10-minute voice amongst the 2 billion so-called Christians all over the world? Have you checked out of that 2 billion if people are really praying at all?" And God is saying, add your own. Your 10 minutes here, your 5 minutes here, your 20 minutes here, 30 minutes will match up to 30 hours a day, maybe 30 hours a week that I need for the salvation of the whole of that nation. Match your own. Add your own. Don't say everybody is doing it. Do your own. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? When they were going to write the Gospels, Matthew wrote his own. He saw it and they knew that John had written. John wrote his own too. Luke wrote his own. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, all of them wrote. And one of them even said, "I have seen that others have written, but I consider it necessary that my own input will be added." Do you know that in one of those Gospels, we realize that many things others did not write, he wrote. There are certain, listen, there's a way you will entreat God that will touch the heart of God even more than some of the thickest, biggest world global evangelists. You are here on an assignment and your own counts. Your voice counts. Say, "God, I don't think I am fit. I'm just starting right now. I don't know how far I've gone." And God says, your voice counts. Do your own. Just a little more. You know, many people have given up because they think that they don't count. I'm not important. I know myself. I'm not a kind of person. And God is saying, you count. In fact, you might be misbehaving, but you are part of those I want to use. That's how God works. Paul the apostle was busy killing Christians. And the church was praying and interceding. Despite all their prayer and intercession, instead of the man to die, God picked the man to use. How many of us remember to pray for souls? As members of this church, how many times have you prayed for this church specifically? How many people, if you count now, you'll be shocked. So I woke up and I said, "Father, the souls around all our harvest field, PTCC, Lord, bring them. Let souls be won. They cannot continue like that. The people living around our community, the people that watch online, you all bring them to church. Let light shine upon their hearts." Souls, how many people pray for that? I sat down this evening and God started gisting. We started having our gist. And he said, "Look at, that's my need. One of my needs, intercession." When Jesus was going to be born, God could not do it without raising an intercessor. Do you know the woman that God raised was the least expected? She was a widow. She had lost her husband. She was living in the church. She didn't have a house. So somebody would have said that, "This woman was supposed to pray for herself. See, they pray for Jesus. This woman, go and pray for yourself. Let somebody even find you and marry you in the first place." Then the woman continued like that from age 30-something, because the Bible says that while her husband, they stayed for just about how many years, and he passed on. And she continued like that 40-something. When she was getting to 50, some neighbors would have mocked and said, "A very useless woman. We have been hearing your prayer points. Messiah, Messiah, Israel, Messiah, Messiah, Israel. You better pray for yourself to be married. In fact, from today," some people would have done that, "I will not give you anything again. I'll pass this church. Instead of you to pray for yourself, you are praying for Messiah." And they will leave. And the woman will look at them and say, "This one's going to understand. I have a dealing with God that his Messiah will not show up until my voice is added." And she continued that prayer and intercession for almost 40 years plus of her life. And the day she saw Jesus, she said, "This is what I have prayed for. My eyes have seen the salvation of Israel." Simon came and God employed him also. And he was praying consistently for Jesus. The woman was alive and she lived longer than many of the people who thought she would have died. She lived a better life and was looking, even though she was fasting, still looked fresh than some of them that were not fasting. Was healthy and they were dying of their disease. She was still healthy. Why? God had employed her. May God count you worthy to be employed in his service. And I know he has counted some of us worthy, but we are dragging our feet. May God open your hearts to respond to his call in the name of Jesus. There's a call to intercessory ministry. And it's not a pastor, a prophet, apostle, evangelist, a teacher that God necessarily needs. He needs men, laymen, ordinary men and women that will pour out their hearts and say, God, I am participating. You will hear my voice once a week or every day or three times a week on this matter until I see a change. Intercessors. God needs intercessors. We gossip, we don't intercede. We talk about the bad things happening. We don't talk about the things that God should do about it. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here tonight? This is the burden that God has placed in my heart tonight. And I want to believe that somebody, by the time you are living here today, you will reorganize your prayer calendar. You will reorganize your schedule. And I pray that God will open your heart to understand his needs. And you begin to see yourself as worthy to meet those needs. In the name of Jesus. God wanted to destroy the whole of Israel. And Moses said, God, you will not. Intercessor. He said, no. He said, I will destroy them and I will raise. You have a wife, don't you? Say, yes. It doesn't take me anything. Birth is 9 months. I can decide that your wife will do 1 month. I am God, all powerful. He said, no. I know you won't do like that. Who are the people that this guy is actually begging for? The same people that he woke up one day and said, they are hard, they are stiff-necked. Not like he had not known them, but he said, God, you won't do that. And Moses, do you know that it was because of Moses, Israel would have been a wiped off race. The plan and the purpose of God to raise it would have been a bygone story. One man stood and he said, God, your counsel and your purposes will stand. Let it not be heard that I am alive and you plan to destroy Israel and I allowed it. Let it not be heard. And Moses interceded and the Bible says God repented from the evil that he wanted to do. Kai, God repented. God changed his mind. Intercessors rise in your family can change the mind of God about things. Intercessors rise in a particular community and we are seeing that everywhere is looking so messed up and bad and God is saying, I have not seen intercessors. If I see them, this thing would have ended 5 years ago. Do you know that the plague that certain families are going through now and the certain nations and communities are going through now is as a result of the lack of intercessors? They are not willing to rise. People are just complaining. Every day they pass, they say, look at this happening. Look at, they are talking about it. They are not praying about it. Men should pray and not just talk. Talk is cheap. When you get to the place of prayer, you see that prayer is laborious. It looks like a heavy task. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here tonight? Job chapter 9, verse 30 to 35. NIV, please. Job chapter 9, verse 30 to 35. Some of the needs of God I'm going to share with us. Job chapter 9, 30 to 35. If I wash myself with snow white, okay, Job chapter 9, is that where we are? 30 to 35, NIV, please. You don't have NIV? Even if I wash myself with soap and my hands with washing soda, let's see, I hope that's where. You would plug me into a slime pit so that even my clothes would detest me. Go ahead, let me see, go somewhere. He is not a man like me that I might answer him and we might comfort each other in a court. If only there were somebody to arbitrate between us, to lay his hand upon both of us and say, God, wait. You know how people lay their hands and say, wait. Job cannot be like this. Job saw that if he had an intercessor, his matter would have changed. His friends came for cheap talk. You are a sinner, bad man. Look at you. Pray by yourself that God will go. And Job said, if only there was a wise person to intercede. Any of you guys talking today, why not intercede for me and say, God, consider your servant Job? Why not say, God, look at what Job has done. Look at his life. Job was crying here. And he said, if only there was someone to arbitrate. I will not continue with this boil. I will not continue with this pain. My life will not be in such a penury. If only there was somebody to arbitrate. In other words, because of the lack of intercession, Job suffered longer than he would have suffered. Just an intercessor would have changed it. Is anybody got what I'm saying here now? A man of God sent some missionaries to a particular place to go and start the missions work. When he went there, he saw how bad the area was and people were misbehaving. He sent the missionaries to go and start the missions work, do a church work in that community. And when they got there, he got reports that the pastors were always busy watching movies. They're watching movies, they'll be joking. Men who were supposed to be evangelizing, men who were supposed to go out and look for souls. Some of them are on salary. And they were watching movies. And the work failed and he called them back. in my mind, I said, Kai, God's purpose fell in my hand. Nothing good will die in my hand. Not when I am here, God, it will not die. Not when I am here, may it not die. May the territory assigned to you not be destroyed in your face. May the responsibility assigned to you may not be turned to shame and shambles dust before your very eyes. In the name of Jesus. And those men will appear before God one day at the judgment seat and say, what were you doing? Say, we're busy watching movies, season movies. When God had a season upon the soul of men, you were watching season movies. Continue. Many of us were very busy doing other things. You know how many movies people watch? They say, I'm bored. Have you done all the things you should do with your life for God? You are getting bored. I'm bored. So you stay on PS2 for 4 hours. Ekario. Edekusheoluwa. No, that's just it. That is the person that has not done evangelism in 6 months. That has not won one soul. And you are playing PS. The PS should be heavy on your hand. And all my guys are looking and say, Pastor, don't start. Yes. It should be heavy. There's a kind of message you will hear. When you want to play tomorrow, you drop it first and say, guy, I'm going to go preach first. That's how it's supposed to be. I told you, if you don't hear messages that spur you up to take action, you're already going down. We will always need men and women who will rise and tell us the truth that will save our soul. And at least that I will not appear before him empty-handed. A songwriter was on a journey to preach somewhere, and they told him that the sailor explained that the ship was about to capsize or something, and everything was going wrong. And he started singing and crying, must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul. You sent me there. I've not gotten there. The souls are not yet won, and I will die here. In this, no, it cannot die. And God gave a second chance. I said, no, you won't die. Now, many people, death hits them fast because they don't have a voice of intercession. You shouldn't die until you have finished your assignment. If you die before your assignment, what happened to your voice of intercession? It means you probably don't have any intercessor standing for you. Do you know many people died because nobody stood the gap to pray? One day I went to preach somewhere and I was done preaching. I was very, very tired. And all of a sudden, the picture of the young man that was staying with me on campus just came to my mind. I didn't know why it came to my mind. I didn't know why. In fact, the truth is that the picture didn't even really come to my mind so much. It was just like remembering you kept somebody at home. And I woke up by 2:12. I was tired. So I said, okay, any which ways. You know, there are different kinds of preaching. There's preaching that you preach, you'll be very okay. The kind of preaching I do when it comes to dealing with demons, maybe supernatural kind of meeting, you'll be tired. You will knock out for like 5 hours first. So I was out. I knelt down on the bed and said, God, I don't know what it is, but I know you need a man. I don't have all the strength, but let me just be on my knees. By adventure, if an angel passed, they will say he left the bed. At least just consider me. That I wanted to pray the prayer. And while I was just starting to struggle to mutter to pray a little bit, I knew I slept. Exactly about that time, I got back home. This brother, I saw bruises all over his face. And I was wondering, what happened to you? He said he didn't know. He woke up by 2:12 to go and ease himself. And he slumped and he nearly died. I said, what? He said, yes. I said, what time? I said, this is the time I woke up. This is the time I woke up. I almost, thank God he didn't die. I would have blamed myself. It would have been one of those blames in my life. That was, Kai! I allowed the man die. And God was looking for an intercessor. Maybe that thing would not have happened at all. God needed an intercessor. There are many times God needs that. Many times, if we look very well, the death of some people will be attributed to your negligence. Have I not told you that your relaxation is the ruin of another man's destiny, another man's life? Never relax. Are you getting what I'm saying here today? Is anybody getting what I'm preaching here tonight? Yes. The gospel got to us by tears. Men prayed, they cried. John Knox prayed for 20 years. Give me Scotland or I die. Give me Scotland or I die. It was said that the Queen of England dreaded the prayer of John Knox than the whole army of England. I rather see the army of England marching with guns than to hear the voice of John Knox. I fear that guy. Because he was an intercessor. And in his lifetime, Scotland shifted. And God gave him Scotland. As one man, an intercessor. That is how the gospel you see today. People came and they gave their lives. They sacrificed themselves. William J. Seymour, you shout, Azusa Street, Azusa Street. Did you not hear that William J. Seymour was praying 5 hours every day for almost 7 years? Then when he saw it was not working, he started praying 7 hours every day. His friend will have to go to work. So he agreed with his friend that you don't work. I've seen that this is your calling. I will walk and feed both of us. There is something about to happen. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but let me do the work. And that guy was wise enough. So he will say, William, you just stay. So they will start praying. They will join him for 2 hours. Then they will rush to work. And by the time, sometimes he will say, when he comes back, William is still praying and say, Azusa must be revival. There must be revival here. There must be revival here. There must be revival here. And that light hit Azusa Street. And child of God, people gathered from all over the world to go and see light in Azusa. 1 man's intercession. I even heard that before William Jason Moore started praying, that there was another man, whether Charles Farm, that already started praying and shouting around the area that God is about to do something. God will raise a voice. God was already shouting and praying on his own. Then God picked Jason Moore. See, there are certain things that will never happen in the timeline of God until certain hours of prayer have been met in the realms of men. Prayer is not a joke. And God counts prayers in hours and hearts. Hours and hearts. The heart that is praying and the time spent. Don't joke with it. The heart that is praying and the time spent. That is how Azusa Street Revival broke forth. Somebody interceded, yielded himself and said, God, use me. I will pray. I will do the work. Whatever it will take, Azusa must experience revival. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here now? Most of our programs today, you see people do program, it's for social media. You see them, they will do program. They will just organize the stage and organize phone and camera. Only 3 people were succeeded to evangelize 3 people to come for the whole of your program. You are carrying big camera. You don't need camera. Sit down and go and win souls. You can't disciple 12 human beings to say you're having program. It's rubbish program. It's not useful. It's not useful. Because sometimes some people have not gone the extra mile to do what they should do. They just want a show. Me too, I will post. I have Instagram page, like, comment, share. That has become the tag of the day. So they need to like my own, And everybody knows now that because I want to say, well, how many souls do you have? How many people are you discipling? Don't waste your time. Sir, nobody saw me. Nobody needed to see me. I will wake up early in the morning. I will leave my house for secondary school ministration, evangelism. The whole of 2005, 1 year. I finished that 2006. I had raised an army that was competent before I did any first program. Competent, ready to invade the land. The theme of the program, I can't forget, manifestation of his presence. Can't forget. From day one, 2006. 19 years ago. Is that not? You're not doing anything. You're not discipling people. Nobody's. Some of the people are pastors. Some of them came for the program with you. They're pastors. My boys, they're pastors. They're pastors, parish pastors now, different places. The first set of people that I started nurturing and training and teaching. It was even later, my wife showed up in that place. Nurturing them, training them, discipling them. Somebody just was something. I didn't even know whether there was going to be. There was no social media, was never in there anyway. Today, the craze about social media, everybody wants to talk. The flyer has more sophistication than the person and everything. You just see the program and say, ah, you are shocked. You see the flyer, fear will catch you. Eh? And because everybody can now use AI to touch up their face, we are not looking at the face of men who are dying and going to hell. We are looking at those who will come to our own platforms to see our face. May God change our hearts and help us repent. This is what God discussed with me tonight while I was preparing. I said, this is what I will share. So we need to come to that place where we understand the need of God. Number two, God needs men who will preach the gospel to a dying world. God needs men who will preach the gospel. God needs men who will preach the gospel. God needs men who will preach the gospel. All those who died without salvation, all those who will die without salvation, they will go to hell. Look at your neighbor, say they will go to hell. Tell the person, say your neighbor, brother, sister, friend, father, mother, that does not know Jesus, will go to hell. Remind them, let them know. And in case you don't know hell, just pray that God will give you revelation of hell once. Just pray, say, God, let the trumpet sound in my dream. Let me not go so that I know how it feels. So that's not, you know, when you see there and they wake you here, I've seen trumpets sound 2 times. Have I not told you? What did they do? I have propeller, inward propeller. I cannot be normal after those kind of encounters. No. I saw them in the days where I needed to push with all my life. And I've been pushing like that. No way. From secondary school. Bam, I finished. I didn't know time to wait. I started immediately. But some young people do not know that God waited to frustrate your admission so that you are mature enough to answer the questions in the university. But you'll be crying and saying, I didn't know that is happening. It's okay, I'm not getting it. I stayed 5 years. Within that 5 years, I've gone to theological school for 4 years. By the time I came out, I was sound. The first set of people that I had to connect with when I came to campus, they were boys from engineering department. Don't tell me that, Pastor. God created the whole world. The earth revolves around this. He rotates it. I said, what is this boy saying? Plenty things. But because I was not coming as a novice, I looked at his face. I said, sit down. You have met your rabbi. And we started the discussion. By the time I was done with that boy, he went to Faculty of Engineering, 100 level, that's what they do here before they go to a prayer. He went there and he gathered 7 of his friends. They were part of the first set of people in this important scholarship when he started. He gathered and said, I've seen a teacher. Others will be telling me rubbish. I've seen somebody who knows it. Are you getting on it? What would have happened if I had wasted that one, all those other years doing other things? I was still busy. It was like I was working for myself. I was working for myself, repairing computers. But I said I will invest in knowledge. When you talk about school of ministry, some people will think that it is because you want to be a pastor. I did not know I was going to be a pastor when I started doing those. I didn't know. I went to Bible school. I didn't know. I didn't go to Bible school because I wanted to be a pastor. I was part of those that would say, this pastoring thing is stressful because my father did it and I saw it was stressful. I just wanted to know Jesus and know him well. You don't know that your opportunity to prepare yourself is for the day ahead. May God help you not to miss the opportunities for your preparation. In the name of Jesus. All those who die without Jesus, they will go to hell. It is eternal damnation. God is in need of men who will preach the gospel. Romans chapter 10 from verse 13 to 14. Romans chapter 10, 13 to 14. How will they hear without the preacher? That's what the Bible says there. How will they hear without the preacher? How will they preach if they've not been sent? So Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So let me send you ahead. He said, for every, Romans chapter 10, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. Verse 14, now let's go. How then can they call on the one whom they, one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone to preach to them? How can they hear without someone to preach? This salvation you are enjoying here, malaria finished people that came to Africa. They died of malaria. You can treat anyhow today. The missionaries died. There was no treatment. They died like, many of them died like chicken. Some of the missionaries married today, Saturday. On Monday, their ship was waiting to take them to Africa. They carried their wife innocently and didn't come back with her back to England. Many of them came from England. A lot of them. The Christian Missionary Society that brought many of them. Many of them. If somebody gets married today and I said, welcome, we're going to your missions field. God is laying in my heart that we're going to go to Borno State. I say, sir, no. Why? You understand what I'm saying now? But these guys, they knew the death waiting for them in Africa, because Africa was called a dark continent. They had told them that Africans eat people. And really, they were eating. They were eating human beings. If you are a stranger, be sure you see ya. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? But these guys knew that they were needed. They went to where they were needed. They didn't go to the place where they would get honorarium. It was not for honorarium. It was to honor the name of Jesus. Many people will never go to a place where they are needed. If it is not a serious high-level ranking honorarium, they will not go. They are not preaching the gospel of Jesus. They are feeding their bellies and their family. Please know it. No matter how influential anybody becomes, there must be certain places that you submit to go, that you know nothing, no hope of anything coming here, but I will go. That's the submission. I know no hope here, but I will go there. Sometimes the higher we go, the more difficult. The people who brought gospel to us, they tell us what they went through. They went on horseback. Charles Finney, John Wesley. They will be climbing horseback to places where nobody will give them honorarium to go and preach the gospel of Jesus. When they finish praying, if they had, some of them will even give those people and come back home. Paul was speaking something. He said, I have what it takes to collect every money I need to collect. He said, but I want to show you people something, a template first, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Flyers I printed with my money, car that I gave out, house that I forfeited, all for the gospel. All for the gospel. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Don't let anything you're seeing around shake. God needs preachers, preachers of righteousness. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, how would they hear without a preacher? And you say, you're not going to talk. How would they hear? I don't know what to preach. What? It's an insult that you don't know what to preach. After 6 months of knowing Jesus, 3 months of knowing Jesus, it's an insult. You thought I was going to say 3 years? 3 months. The Samaritan woman met Jesus one-on-one. After that day, immediately she left, she said, come and see the man who has told me the story of my life. A madman was healed, and the Bible says he wanted to follow Jesus. I said, don't follow me. He went to the city, Decapolis, 10 cities, and he converted people. He was calling them, come and meet Jesus. He didn't know what to preach, just come and see. To invite somebody to church service where I will make altar call on Sunday is hard. Very hard. Very hard. There are plenty around us, all around, everybody around. Let's go. Let's just, no way. Why? Because people are not willing. They don't know God needs them. How would that your neighbor hear if you don't do anything? How would that person know what God is saying if you don't do anything? We need to wake up and tell ourselves the truth and start acting on it immediately. Secondary school, I can't forget, from Alagbado down to Oshodi, I've started preaching in the bus already. Repent. I told myself the first day I was going to preach, I was shaking. All my body was shaking. My mouth was shaking. I was afraid. I just told myself, I said, if you don't preach, you know, at my level of knowledge, I said, if you don't preach today, you will die and go to hell. Stand up now. As I stand up, my leg did not stand. One day, as I was there, one small girl just stood up. Praise the Lord. In my mind, I said, I says to this girl, go day like Jesus 3. The younger brother stood by the side. When she says something, you say, amen. Amen. Ah! I said, God, the next boss, you will never, it cannot happen. Thank God for the next boss. If not, I already felt like hellfire was in front of me. But you see, that was my level of knowledge, but it was a push for me. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Push for me. Those days, we do morning cry. Nobody, even when we came to Iba, I was still doing morning cry. On Sunday morning. There are Sunday mornings where I will go and preach on the street the morning before I preach on the, in the service. People say, Pastor, I heard your voice. I say, yes, that's me. It's my signature. You need to hear my, why won't you hear my voice? Some people start church. They gave them church to pastor. They cannot do anything. Just be sitting down, be greeting with member. Igbo, I can't preach to empty chairs. Never. Jesus, no. No, I can't do that. I'm not here to waste. I called them, everybody went to church. I said, everybody, go outside, make up evangelism. And Nakazu, go and bring people. Go and bring them now. He said, bring them that my house will be full. Why are you comfortable with empty chairs? I can never be comfortable. Why? I do Instagram picture. They cannot show the congregation. Nobody's there. Why are they showing your face? You cannot show conclusion, don't show your face. Hide. The people are more important. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? It sounds a little bit, but I know what I'm saying. Because our generation is such a generation that people are so carried away with the non-essentials. And they have left the major thing. Major thing. That's why you come to church and you discover that in church, people have no fear of God. No single fear of God. No atom of fear of God. You'll be shocked at what you see. Then angels are watching. You know, God said, and I wondered. So I look for a man, I wondered that I did not see. That's how God is. So you say, people are plenty, but God said, I can't see. Hey! May he not be heard that you cannot be seen. May you not be present, but not present in heaven. May it not be that your presence in church, attendance was marked, and they didn't see that you were present in heaven. God is looking for men and they mark attendance in heaven. People that came to church, we have taken attendance. Socials are already counting how many people that came to church. And after we count, say 200 and 300 and 400. At the end of the day in heaven, they count and say, they were 55. Because it is heart that they count. Some people press phone throughout the service. Did you come for service? Some people throughout the service, they were thinking of something else. Their mind gone. Is anybody getting what I'm preaching here today? Because it's amazing. It is surprising. It is really terrible the kind of things that we see today. The gospel got to us by sacrifice. People left their career. Do you know of David Livingstone? David Livingstone, a pastor came to their church one day to preach, and he was just somewhere seated. And the pastor said, "Who will go? That God needs missionaries in South Africa, medical doctors, and that will do the work." Do you know this boy went to study medicine? And after he finished studying medicine, he came back and he said, many years ago, the evangelist came and said, God needed doctors in missions field. I have finished studying medicine. I am ready to go. And he left there and he went to the mission field. Some of these people did not die. You see, those people are living long. To live long, you might regret living long. Charles Creek is dead. Now look at the mass number of people that gathered everywhere. Charlie Creek. Mass number of people that gathered everywhere. America heard Christ again. Boldly. It was a seed. Something has happened there. Something has happened in history. Something has gone down history. Memory lane. That a 31-year-old boy stood his ground and he shouted it. And he was killed for what he believed. And while you are mocking, his wife came out and said, I've forgiven him. Yes, that's it. That's it. That's the gospel that we received. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will think that many people will be afraid of now preaching. They will shock you. Watch out. An army will rise. When Stephen died, they thought that the church was going to die. But immediately Stephen died, the Bible says the gospel spread everywhere. Everywhere. Do you know the seed in people's hearts? Yeah, how their heart is burning. That this is what we will do. This is what we will do. This is the kind of life we are called to. And that guy was 31 and gone. But gone to sit with the master. Gone to say, Father, they asked him when he was alive, what do you want your legacy to be? People have their stories. What do you want to be said after about you in case you are not here? What he said, what is that thing you want? He said, I want to be known for my faith. Publicly declaring my faith. To post church on Instagram is heartache for you. So you know Jesus. And many so-called teachers are teaching all manner of things and believers don't know the standard again because you hear too many secular people. That's why the confusion is high. You can't separate your faith from who you are anywhere. The reason God put you in that career space is for the gospel. The reason he put you among those business people that are misbehaving, that you are saying those people are not interested in, is for the gospel. The reason he planted you there is for the gospel. Know it now and know your assignment. Say, God, I'm looking for my purpose. God said, I put you in the midst of your purpose. Your purpose is not far. Stand up and do something. You're looking for purpose. You can't find purpose outside this gospel. Any other purpose outside this gospel is rubbish. It might not be exactly starting with all that, but there's something about you, what you represent, your character within that space, and unapologetically speaking about who you are. I'm a Christian, born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking firebrand, and I'm not ashamed of it. Even these days now, you see, people, phone, Bible, and tab has helped you. We would have known those who really love Jesus. Because if I tell on Sunday, maybe one Sunday in this year, I'll tell you, but don't come to church if you don't have hard copy Bible. You will see that 80% of church members don't have hard copy Bible again. They don't have hard copy Bible. I still watch at least defending it one day why they should use hard copy Bible. I saw one of his videos. He was teaching why they should bring hard copy Bible. Talk about the less distraction that they will focus. Talk about the feeling that you have when you are holding a Bible. It's different from when you are holding the same thing that somebody used to watch pornography. Somebody been blessed. This message cannot finish today. We'll continue. There's so much in my heart. I'll just share one or two and we'll close. I have 8 things to show you areas of God's needs. God has needs. And many people are so, you have, see, there's none of this need that you cannot meet now. Can't you meet the need of praying? See, can't you meet the need of preaching? The needs of God, they are not hard. The only thing is that the heart of men is hard. It's the heart of men that is hard. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That's what he said. Learn of me, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That's what Jesus said. He finished studying medicine and left. Have you heard of Hudson Taylor? This guy went to China from England, left the comfort of England and went to China, and he started dressing like the Chinese people. He started the China Inland Missions, and he faced poverty, loss of his family, his wife and children, yet he did not stop. They respect him so much. He lived literally like a Chinese person. In the days where nobody dare, you dare not. That was when this guy went to China and he settled. The Paelty you are talking about, you think that place is not okay that I came to Nigeria and went to Elisha. He didn't stay in Lagos. Lagos was comfortable, would have been better, but he went to Elisha. Somebody would have asked him that time, say, why not just stay in Lagos? And he said, don't worry, that's where I'm going to. The voice of them that cry in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. May God help us. May God help us. Do you know the guy who translated the Bible and risked his life? How many of you have read some Bible? You see William Tyndale. This guy sacrificed his life. He was very, do you know what they did? They burnt him alive. Oh, after he sacrificed and he wrote, he said everybody must read this Bible. How can this thing be? And people don't know it. And the Orthodox Catholic priests were deceiving people a lot. They would tell them about penance. They would tell them about pay for this, pay for that, pay for sin. He said, no, it's not in the Bible. And they joined force that they were going to translate the Bible to the common language of everybody. It was English then. Everybody must know it. And the church authorities fought him to the point where this, you know what they call strangulation? You strangled somebody and burned the person to death. He said, no problem. But today, that is the Bible you have that you are not reading. Every time you carry the Bible and we fail to read it, somebody's blood is in our hands. Somebody who sacrificed that we will get it. You know that there are underground churches in China where people cram Bible. They don't read Bible, they cram it. You know why? Because they will not allow them print plenty. Do you know China is one of the leading publishers of Bible in the world now? China. One of the leading publishers of Bible in the world. Yet, Bible is not approved publicly in China. They are business people. They don't care for your soul. Go and check. See now. They are where what is selling is what we do. But indirectly, I believe God is using them. They are not just aware. The same thing that some people tried to use before and they fought them and killed them. They are now publishing it for money's sake. And people are, in their mind, they say that people are foolish. Since they like to hold it, let's do it for them. We are making money. That's what they are thinking. But this gets to some people and they will tear portions, tear the whole of Ephesians and cram Ephesians in your head and say, I am Ephesians. They say, what of you? Say, I'm Philippians. So we come for service like this and there is Ephesians, Philippians, Jude, Titus, James. We have Bible in our presence. That's the kind of men, people. You'll be shocked to meet people and the person is quoting and you're like, he say yes. A child goes to Islamic school and he will climb Quran from A to Z. You'll be born again. How many Bible do you have? And if the Bible has already said, he says, study to show yourself approved. We are not doing Christianity the way we should do it. We are carried away. This same person that does not have Bible on the head knows all the old secular songs. What everything is, what this song. He will give you the lyrics. I remember those days when Satan wanted to indoctrinate me to learning lyrics. It was Celine Dion. I said, Jesus, my life. Which kind of voice is this? I started cramming it. I've been taught by angel of love. I said, no, God forbid, angel of love will not touch me again. Until I gave my life to Christ and that was the end. I didn't go back there again. You know now, because others are singing, you don't want to feel like you're stupid. You just come around and guys are just singing. I see the stars in the sky. I can't believe I'm in that. And I say, oh, more, I go touch my angel of love too. I carry that in. I cram and cram and cram and cram. It was not entering very well. Your association matters a lot. When I started following those guys in literary and debating society, they were too exposed to many things. That was when I just thought, you know, be star if you don't know these songs. There are songs you have to know it too. Let me not take you there. I'm not the one that will take you to your past. Buried for life. They risked their life. Mary Slessor, in 1848 to 1915, Mary Slessor lived in Nigeria and risked her life. They were killing twins. Tradition that everybody respected and honored. Mary Slessor said, it's a lie. We will not do it. Kill me instead. And the woman stood her ground until they stopped the killing of twins in Calabar. It was a serious matter. These are people that gave their lives. To preach to people around us has become so difficult. And God is saying, no, it cannot be like that. I need you. I need you in that office. I need you in that school. Some of us even got to a place where we had privilege to meet many people. We still did not preach to them. God! If they show you the picture in heaven, they will play it and say you were with 12 people. These 12 people would have been around your life as soul disciples. You kept on talking to them about mundane things, but never mentioned to them Christ. A man was saying, they asked him, they said, what is the worst thing that will happen to a believer? The regret is to see the people who should have told about Christ you never told go to hell. With the worst regrets. Because they were born eternally. They were born eternally. I want to beg us as Christians to wake up to our responsibility. And it doesn't mean that after this message, now you now say, I'm going to pray to 50 souls a day. No, one is okay. Start from somewhere. You pray for one and say, one. God, give me one a week. At least. If I, on Sunday, I nearly forgot to make altar call for souls. And there were people waiting. I said, God, help me never to forget this thing. Never. This is the highlight of the service. The highest point of the service is when I say, how many of you would like to give Jesus your life? And people will come out. Some of you can remember the years back when you came out like that. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. And that was it. After that confession, you have been following gradually. There are days where you probably made a mistake, but you stood your ground again. And God is saying, I will help you. Just get serious. Let's continue. You are not just here to be saved. You are here to save others. You are here. We have an assignment. We are doing these things together. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice that the calling of God upon your life will be so solid and sound. You will not miss your place in the name of Jesus. Listen to me. I declare concerning you that you will be available for use. You'll be available for use. Child of God, I say you'll be available for use. I can't hear you say a louder amen. You're going to lift up your voice and you're going to pray passionately today. That young girl that is prostituting and you are saying you will not tell her anything. You are not being fair. Preach to her. That young guy that is misbehaving everywhere and you say, ah, your eye go clear. His eye cannot be clear. Your assignment is to clear the eyes. Paul, God said it, that will help us so that we open the eyes of sinners and turn them to righteousness. You are the one to clear the eyes. Don't let him learn and die. Some of them may never learn. They will die. I'm telling you the truth. Some of them may never learn. God brought you out early enough so that you can bring them out. Don't say they will learn their lesson. They are very stubborn. Even if I were the one, if they told me, I would not listen to them. But see, you have listened. You need to look for somebody. That girl you condemn, that guy you condemn, that person you consider that they are the worst and they are not needed, God is saying, I need them. And peradventure, some of you, listen to me. God needs those who will use their own experiences to bring others out. You are hiding your experience. You that watch masturbation 4 hours a day, watch pornography 4 hours a day, you are hiding your experience. They didn't even say, come and talk about it in church. You are preaching to somebody and the person said, this is what I'm struggling with. And you say, is that what you are struggling with? Oh, what's that? What kind of thing is that? There's a demon disturbing you. The same demon disturbed you. All that person needed for salvation was to say, I was here before. If God can help me. In fact, that's why he sent me to you. I am one of the proofs that God can change a man. Many of us hide our stories. And God needs somebody that will tell their story. I will continue next week. Rise up on your feet. God needs somebody. God needs somebody. God needs somebody. God needs somebody that will tell their stories. What was the song I sang when we just started? That first song I sang. I sang a song and the line of that song caught my heart and I said I will share something about it before we close. Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through. Look at the line, caught me. I've never thought of that line before. Everything I've been through. Use it for your glory. Everything I have been through. My weaknesses, my pain, my shame. Everything I have been through. Use it for your glory. Everything I have been through. My mistakes. Use it for your glory. My pain. The things that I did that were so detestable. God, I want you to use it for your glory. How will you use it? You will talk about it to somebody. Somebody needs to hear it. Somebody's life is hanging on your testimony. Somebody's shift is hanging on what you did that God brought you out from. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a living sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life. I want you to pray tonight and say, God, use me. God, use me. I am available. Can you pray passionately from your heart? And say, now I realize that what you need is not too much. I am available. My voice can be used to preach. Ayakabasata. My mouth can intercede. Can you pray and say, Lord, I'm available? Aziso prekese ketele boshante eswana kasaka tarabasina borodosh raka papa paiba paiba eswene kosisi swaka tarabasendelesh rede kosege dele boshkapaya swana gabara baba 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 bosh. Can you pray and say, God, use me? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided I will follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided
to follow Jesus.
I have decided
to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Oh, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I am a rush. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided,
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Say, Lord, use me. Use me. I'm available. I can preach. I can teach. I can learn it. Jesus, I am available. If you can learn a trade, if you can learn a skill, if you can go to school, you can preach Jesus.
Sapli
and echo seketele bosha. Swana kabaraka baba 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 bosh. Jesus prenente ruate. Suketele kesekele bosha te ruata.
No turning back.
I have
decided.
Yes, you follow Jesus.
I have decided.
I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
I want you to pray 1 minute. God, use me. I am available. I can do something. I can do something. I can do something. If you need anyone, God, I am available. I am available. You can't be looking for and not find me worthy. Your office place is a platform. Preach Christ there. Your business environment is a platform. Preach Christ there. If you leave that place and people who are supposed to hear Christ don't hear it, the Bible says I will require the blood from you. They go to church, but you see their kind of conversation and see the way they behave. See, preach Christ to them. Remind them that they are Christians. You were planted there so that you will preach Christ to them. You were planted there so that the message of the gospel will spread. What impact have you made? Where you are, what impact have you made? Why not decide for something that you would do before the end of the year? You're waiting for a big thing to do. You're waiting for you when you are able to get gadgets to record yourself. When there are many people that need to hear Jesus without any recording. Right in the corner where you were. Right in the corner where you were. Do not wait for some deed of greatness you may do. Right in the corner where you were. Right in the corner where you were. Right in the corner where you were. Do not wait for some deed of greatness you may do. Right in the corner where you were. Every time we preach, we mention the names of preachers. But there were so many people that went ahead of those preachers to clear the space for them to preach the gospel. They gave their lives. They gave themselves. Father Nash should pray for his hotel bill by himself just to pray for Charles Finney when he will come and preach. A younger preacher. Very much younger. But he said, no, I will do it. Since they said I cannot preach, that's what they told Father Nash, that he cannot preach. So the church moved him out of the place and said, you can't preach. And he said, but I can pray. I can pray. I can pray. And he became one of the strongest intercessors of his own time. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Ọlọrun mi, iwe ni ma si titi aye o, mi o. Ọlọrun mi, iwe ni ma si titi aye o, mi o.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. If you are in service tonight and you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, inasmuch as the gospel of salvation is love, Jesus loves you. But we have to remind people of the faith of those who refuse to accept Jesus, that hell awaits those who will not accept Jesus. If I were you, you want to make a commitment to follow Jesus and get serious with him, can you quietly raise your hand today? I'm going to pray with you. It's another opportunity. It's another opportunity. Another opportunity. Can you just say these words after me? Raise your hand confidently. I'll need you to do it. Because of time, we have to do it fast. Raise your hand confidently and say after me, Lord Jesus, today I come to you the way I am. Have mercy on me, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Lord Jesus, I am sorry for my mistakes. I receive eternal life today into my spirit, and I declare that I am born again. I am saved and I am sanctified. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayer. You are born again, but you have been struggling anyhow. It is time for you to get serious. You are needed. God needs somebody. Don't make yourself a short one. Don't make yourself a short one. God needs you. Come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home.
graciously, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner, come on, come on, come on. Ye who are weary, come on. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner, come on.
You are born again. You are not necessarily living in sin, but you have abandoned your assignment of preaching the gospel. Intercession is far from you. You don't consider it as anything serious to do. God is calling you back to the place of your assignment. We've turned around and gone astray. Your trust for us we have betrayed. Your power we don't recognize. Your lordship we have all despised. And we cannot pretend. We now repent. Forgive us, Lord, we pray. Bring down your glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you today. We bless you for this service. I have preached your word from my heart. And I know that the hearts of your sons and daughters are open. They have received this word. Lord, if there is anything delaying and dragging in the life of anyone because they have forgotten the assignment and their first love, Lord, I pray for your mercy that you will restore. Strengthen our conviction. Empower us to make decisions that are worthy of our calling as believers. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please sit up in heavenly places. I want to challenge everyone today. When you're coming on Sunday, look for somebody that needs to be in church. When you go back home, look for somebody you can preach to this week. Today is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Look for somebody. If you decide to preach to somebody, it will look very difficult. I'm telling you, you feel like, how will I say? What will I say? They'll look at me as a stupid person. The preaching of the gospel, the Bible already says that it looks like foolishness. That's how it will look like. Even when I preach to people too, everything sounds very foolish until I see them crying. And I'm like, but this is what has helped me too. The gospel looks very foolish that Jesus came and died for your sin and you have eternal life. It looks so stupid. But the Bible says God has decided to use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. So don't be afraid of the gospel of Christ. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. So I want to challenge everyone, please, this week, I want to challenge you. Look for somebody to preach to. Look for somebody you can. If you have not mastered the act of preaching, learn it. You can learn it by yourself. Your story, just tell them your story of how Jesus has found you and that you are going to church and you want them to receive Christ. If you don't know how to lead them, just tell the person, say it after me, Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me my sins in Jesus' name. It's okay. It is not you that will save. God, who knows the intentions and the motives, knows what to do. You don't have to say it like a sophisticated preacher. Are we here together? The Lord bless us and keep us in Jesus' name. Next week, I think I have to do justice on this. I'm going to see if I can build on it. Let me just pray. Since I have this week to follow the leading of the Spirit specifically on this Sunday, and I'll see what I'm going to do about it. He's well with you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of these life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.